Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Today, it's a Crappins on Demand episode, of course, because this is a crazy episode of Salt Lake City. So, of course, we're doing Crappins on Demand. You can watch us, not just listen to us, by going to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can see both of us. I can see Bueller right over Ronnie's shoulder, curled up on the sofa over there. And then I'm starting to collect things from my little bulletin board. I've got one of our Hunky Dory tour posters from Atlanta this weekend. We had, thanks to everyone who came out to our shows in Atlanta and Nashville and Orlando this past weekend. It was crazy. It was fun. It was wonderful. Okay. Our Miami episode will be up a little bit later. And if you want to see us live as well, go to watchcrappins.com. Our next two shows, we've got San Diego and Los Angeles next week. So we will give you an update on what we'll be covering on those shows. We don't have the answer just yet, but it's going to be a great, great time. So come join us there. Again, the tickets are at watchcrappins.com. That's where you find links to everything, including, Patreon links if you forget what they are. So everything is right there. Okay. And that's the big news for today. How are you doing today, Ronnie?
Good.
Yeah,
excited to be back at my desk.
Yes, me too.
Little exciting. My jug of water here, ready to go. Salt Lake City was a crazy freaking episode. Oh my God. That was really crazy.
It was so, I mean, I couldn't even believe what I was watching. The only thing that I didn't like about it was the very end when they said next week on the finale of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I mean, we sensed it. We sensed that the end was coming, but I was hoping to eke out like one or two more episodes before the finale because this season has been so good.
It's been so good, but you know, this is the longest season. Of course, there've only been two, but this is a long season for them. So it's time to end it because really it's fun, but it is just Whitney walking around making shit up at this point. Like, I don't even know what Whitney's even doing anymore, but they're just all finding reasons to scream and get mad at each other. And it's kind of like a parody of a housewife show at this, which I guess it always has been, right? We've always kind of said that it's like kind of a parody of our housewives. It's like, we're going to fight right now. It used to be mostly Jen who was like that, but now they're just all going, whatever got Lisa, and she's just going completely nuts the entire episode, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good, though, because these are, like, simmering frustrations.
Well,
that
you said
had.
It's been good, but, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's been, to me, it's like, these are simmering frustrations that they all have with each other that have been, like, bubbling up over the course of the season. I personally think there was a meme going, there's a lot of memes going around today about, you know, who is the true villain on Salt Lake City or whose fault is who, like, that anything happened. Right now, today, you know, we've been putting a lot of blame on Whitney because Whitney and Heather have been starting up a lot of shit. I'm also, you know, I think today I'm going to put it on Jen Shah, to be honest, because I was thinking about it. And Jen Shah is the one who has really been kind of pushing Whitney. Pushing Lisa to turn against Meredith because Jen does not like Meredith. And so Jen is the one who keeps on like yelling at Lisa and saying like, you don't have my back. You're always saying you've got Meredith's back. You don't have my back. And then Lisa's like, oh no, like I do have your back. And she goes, well, you don't seem to have my back. And the funny thing is Meredith doesn't have your back. So I think that Jen has actually a big hand in the chaos of this episode.
Well, Jen's always the villain, right? Jen's like the main villain of the show. So she's usually doing it. But Jen actually gets a break today because everybody's little you know, manipulations finally work today. Like, yeah. Heather and Whitney, everything that they've been manipulating worked. Jen doesn't even manipulate. She just straight up screams in your face, it's not fair, you need to yell at Meredith. And then they literally made a plan. Like, you're going to yell at Meredith tonight, right? You're going to yell at her tonight, right? So tonight was the night. They all promised each other that they were going to come for Meredith. And then they did. And then it ended up being Lisa losing her shit.
But like, isn't it crazy that right now all the women have sort of like rallied around Jen and Meredith has almost become the pariah? Like, that, when I sort of like sat back and realized how that dynamic shifted, I was like, oh, this is Jen. Jen is at the core of this. She has managed to get everyone on her side when she has been like the shadiest person of all.
Well, Whitney was the one who started the whole Meredith is lying about the memorial service. So that was Whitney. So I would say it was a good team. It was a good team effort there to just, you know, be insane. But also, it's a housewives rule. And it's also kind of a life rule, right? That if you're the one that's not there, you're the one that they're going to talk shit about. It's like the one that doesn't show up is the one that's going to be in trouble with everybody. Because everyone else had a chance to forgive each other. And you just never showed up. So, you know what? It's going to be Mary and Meredith now.
The people who try to take the higher road on the housewives always get screwed.
Yeah, we're not watching a show about the high road. If it was the high road, you'd be on first class flights to your destinations. This Salt Lake City is the definition of low road, okay? You're in a Sprinter van for 10 hours everywhere you go, okay? If you're not on the low road with everybody else, you know what? You're in trouble. Sit.
Okay, so let's start the episode. The episode opens with Lisa. We're still in the hot mic situation where Lisa has like gone into a room and is like, you know what? Meredith can go fuck herself. I'm done with her because I am not a whore and I don't cheat on my husband and her dumb fucking family that poses like, why don't you own a house? Oh, wait, you can't. Okay. Because your husband changes jobs every 5 months.
And then it's a Peter and the Wolf episode where every animal gets a music is so crazy.
Your husband changes his job.
So then Mary is now outside of Meredith's room, and she's kind of like a horror movie version of Mary because she's clutching onto the door. What do you call it? The door frame. Like the door, she's like clutching onto it and running, just has her face pressed against it like she's a ghost, but she hasn't learned how to walk through the walls yet. So she's just like clenching it, trying to get through the door. Or like a vampire who hasn't been invited in. You know, like that's the rule with vampires. And she's just clutching it. And she's like, you're going to let me in. Let me in.
And Meredith's like, no, I am getting undressed and I'm not finished, vampire.
And Mary's like, let me in. It's just me. It's just me and 30 cameras. Okay. It's just me and 30 cameras. She's like, I am done with work today. Okay. Thank you very much. You could just hear Meredith's head. It's like hitting the door, you know?
Yeah. And so Mary is like really just like trying, but Meredith will not let her in. So then Meredith tells us, why is Whitney coming at me about my father's memorial? The only one who should have any concern about this would be Jen because of these accusations of me calling the FBI. But truth be told, I'd want to be there to watch her arrest. Are you crazy? You think I would miss it if I were the cause of it? Come on now, Brooksy and I, we'd want to sit there front row making scathing comments, okay?
Right, like if she got this whole thing together, she'd want to see her own show, which I think is a very strong point.
It's actually like the strongest logic we've seen of anything all season.
I know. Mary would have been there with a foam finger. Like, Mary would not purposely miss Jen getting arrested by multiple agencies.
No, we all wanted to be there. Let's be honest.
Hey, gee, I wonder what Lisa's doing. Oh, she's still screaming behind a closed door. Okay. Meredith is a piece of shit. Oh, Meredith, I have your back. You will fuck you, Meredith. Fuck you, Meredith. Still losing her mind. So now Jenny's coming up the stairs and Lisa's still going, that garbage shit piece of whore. I fucking hate her. She's a whore. She fucked half of New York. She can go fuck herself.
And Jenny walks in the room and Lisa's like, you know what? You know what, Jenny? You didn't have my back, okay? And when Mara was saying that stuff, I had your back. I had your back. And she's like, I had your back. You didn't even hear me. And then and like the evidence of her having her back was basically Mary saying, like, you still eat Taco Bell. And Jenny in the corner goes, what's wrong with eating Taco Bell? I'm like, great job, Jenny. You really had her back.
I know. You had her back and Taco Bell's back. I mean, it was a multiple have your back moment.
It's like those tacos within a taco that Taco Bell sells.
Oh, I love those. What those called? Like crunchy taco gordita. I don't know what they are. Because I can never remember what anything is from there. So I just order kind of one of everything and make my way through it. But I'll tell you what, a normal taco, like soft taco, just no tortilla. Boring! Can't even have them anymore. Taco Bell's ruined me with their like gordita over, what's the other one they have? There's a crispy taco.
Supreme. Taco Supreme? Taco
Gordita? No. The kind of bread. There's like the gordita bread. Then there's another thick kind of bread that's not the like...
No. We got to get this. This is not the... It's a gordita and the...
Chalupa.
Chalupa.
That's it. The chalupa shell, the gordita shell, the crispy shell. I'm like, just put some Wonder Bread. They're like every kind of bread they can put in there and some beans.
And if I just give you a chuh, you could get, I was like, let me just give the chuh and Ronnie can take it from there.
I have it. Chalupa, baby. So Jenny is like, yeah, I did have your back, you know. And she's like, you know, you can't expect me to do everything. And Lisa says, well, I said what everyone thinks. And you all just sat there. And what Meredith just said, that's bullshit. And she owes me the biggest apology out of everybody. Because I just almost got my ass kicked by Jen for her. Okay, then why aren't you mad at Jen? That's what kills me about this show. Why are you screaming about Meredith for not having your back and you're standing up for the woman who just could have put you in the hospital?
I would say Stockholm Syndrome, but that's a little too fancy for this show. It's more like, I don't know, gas station syndrome. I don't know. Like, I just don't see Stockholm really entering the world of Salt Lake City. So Lisa, she's like, she sits there all smug and doesn't say a goddamn word. And Jenny goes, well, I don't know what happened with you and her last year. So that's why I didn't really chime in. She goes, what happened with Jen? Come on. What's going on here? I'm so mad.
She gets New York gangster on this. She goes, come on. Come on. What's going on here?
What's the matter? Forget about her.
So then Heather and Whitney are, you know, like walking back like they're coming back from a picnic. They've got like the shopping bag and everything. And Heather's like, God, this gravel is some bullshit on the feet, not knowing what the hell's going on inside, right? So now Lisa's still screaming, you all have a problem with Myers fucking touch. You have a problem. And I bring it up and you just sit there. You don't know how to show up.
Yeah. She's like, I took it for all of you. And you all said, I took it for all of you. And Jenny's like, Lisa, you are my friend. I will always have your back. Did you not hear what I said about Taco Bell? Okay. We all love Taco Bell. I said it very quietly in the corner. I have your back.
Also, it's so funny that Lisa's saying she's doing this for everybody because Lisa was the one who set up the first Cameron meeting and brought it on camera to get married. And now she's acting like everyone's been asking her. Like, you've been trying to do this since the beginning of the season. And now you're just mad that it's still just you. But everybody else did go for it. You know, Lisa's crazy. And I'm loving this entire episode as Lisa's screaming. So now she's going, you all had a choice to make tonight. And y'all made the wrong one, all right? You made the wrong one, all right?
And Heather and Whitney come in. They hear this like ranting and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? And Lisa's like, I'm better than this. I have been nothing but nice to you, Jen Shah, don't fucking come at me ever again.
So now she's screaming at Jen Shah and nobody really knows why. She's just like at that point where she's just losing her mind. So she's just naming people, you know? So now Jen is like, wait, what? So she speeds down the hall. Everybody's like running to Lisa's room and Jen's like, are you yelling on me? And she's like, yes, look what just happened out there. You know what? I'm out of here. You guys win. You win. All of you win.
I'm done. Let's do a call out game right now. Okay, let's go. And Heather's like, Well, look, I defended you at the table and you left before we could even finish talking about it. Okay, this is what happened. I said I had your back and then someone said I had my back. And then I said, you don't have my back. And then they didn't have my back. So I said, I have their back. And then the lady who made the taco bowls, she had someone's back. And I said, why don't you have my back? And I took a taco bowl and put it on my back. And I was like, I have a taco bowl on my back. We just talked about people's backs a lot.
But also this whole season has been everybody screaming, so they don't even care at this point. You know, like a bomb could go off and people just keep eating, you know. Yeah. It's like they're just waiting for their turn. But Lisa has been trying to have her sobby monologue all season and nobody will let her finish, and this is what happens when you don't let someone get their monologue. You know, it turns into an entire episode of screaming. So now she's just on to Heather. She's like, I am done. Come on, Heather Gay. Come on, let's go, Heather Gay. And Heather's like, oh my God, I defended you at that table, Lisa, but you didn't hear it because you walked away, okay? And she's like, I said everything everyone wouldn't say. And she goes, yeah, and you know who else said stuff? Whitney. Did anyone understand what she was talking about? Not really, you know, but she did say stuff.
I like also Lisa saying, I said what no one else would say. I'm like, including you, by the way, because it was like 2 months ago that we were watching you say, I heard that Mary's church something. I'm not going to say. Okay, Cameron mortgaged his house, but I'm not going to say. I trust her. I'm like, you protected her just as much as everyone else.
Protected her. She brought it all on camera.
I'm sorry, not protected, but like she demurred as much. Like she's saying, like, I said what everyone was too afraid to say. I was like, you were one of the people that was afraid to say it. Everyone was afraid.
Right to Mary's face, point, right? Actually. So Lisa's like, yeah, I'm not doing this. And so everybody's yelling. So now someone has to pee. I think Lisa has to pee, right? So Lisa goes into the tiny bathroom. Is this the part where she starts peeing? Because goes to the bathroom and starts peeing, and they just continue the scene while someone is peeing.
I didn't know that there was peeing. I just know that she went into the bathroom because she's like, fuck you, Meredith. Because she's just going down the castle. She has like a call sheet in her hand. She's like, okay, next line, Meredith, fuck you, Meredith. So she goes in. She's like, I'm so tired of all you guys. So now they're all crammed into the bathroom. And she's like, this is going to get turned on me. This is, and she's like, you know what it is? She's packing up her toiletries, Ronnie, because now she has a hair dryer that she's packing up. It's all going to get turned on me. Going to just coil this wire around my con hair real quickly. It's going to get turned on me.
And Heather's like, well, it started to get turned on you, Lisa, but it didn't. It didn't get turned on you, okay? And she's like, guess what? I'm richer than all of you, okay? I don't need to be here. Get me out of here. Get me. This is what I say every time I go past a preschool during the school zone time. You know, it's like they may just make you slow down and you're going like 10 miles an hour. I'm just going to start yelling out the window. I'm richer than all of you, little preschool fucks. None of you even have jobs.
And Jen Shaw goes, that's not nice, which was mainly, she wasn't offended about the bragging. She's like, basically like, that's not nice because I've really tried to have my people call you many times. You won't answer their call. I could have had so many millions of dollars from you. So Heather's like, what's going on? I mean, Lisa is screaming. She's pulling her hair out. I mean, I love an unhinged Lisa Barlow. I'm so glad that Whitney and I pushed her to this point over several weeks of manipulations.
Yeah, I've worked hard on this and it's working. So Jen's like, what did I miss? And so Jenny's like, oh, you missed it because she's saying no one got her back. And Heather starts doing the clap yelling, I just stood up for you at dinner. I just stood up for you.
And then Whitney comes in. Whitney, who has all season long, when Whitney and Lisa have been trying to have a relationship, Whitney, who has never given Lisa the benefit of the doubt, maybe deservedly, but either way, no matter what happens, Whitney's always been like, this was a plot to make me look stupid. All season long, she's always been the first one to go after Lisa Barlow. So now she takes Lisa and goes, can I have a moment with Lisa, please? Lisa, I want to have your back. Tell me what I need to do to help. I'm like, Whitney is so fake, acting like she is like super tight with Lisa and is going to have her back through thick and thin in this moment. No way she will. No way.
Well, Lisa's finally against, you know, Lisa's finally making, she's finally doing what Whitney wants, you know, it's like she's screaming at Meredith. Yeah. Now she's
and
like,
Mary.
Okay, how can I help you?
And so Mary. Jen's remember, like, the enemy of my enemy and Mary, is, my, yes. is my friend.
Right. So Jen's like, you guys deal with this. I mean, everyone's screaming and Lisa's having a meltdown and I can tell it's going to be a long night. I need to get my popcorn. I mean, no matter how good an episode is, Jen Shaw can still take it back to Hackville. You know, it's like, I'm going to get my popcorn. Shut up, Jen Shaw. Go away. Everyone else is handling this just fine.
So now Lisa's like, I'm going to go back. I have like a piece of peanut in my throat and I actually think it's going to make my Lisa impersonation better. Like, I feel like, cause Lisa does sort of talk like she has like a fragment of peanut in her throat. She's like, listen, I'll say it to you all. I literally had all of your backs at the table and Mary came at me. And you know what? I'm sick of it. I don't have fake stuff. Okay. I'm very, very authentic. Okay. See the spray tan? That's authentic. Now, does that bother me? No, but it's the puck making up lies about the kettle. Cause we all know hockey pucks and kettles are famous in an analogy together. The puck making up lies about the kettle.
I'm not fake. I don't have fake stuff.
Oh, okay.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we get the merry oboe from Peter and the Wolf. It's like, boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, ba-dum. And then it's just Mary in this huge room all alone. And she's just kind of looking at the window, talking to herself. And she's like, Heather, with her little judgmental self. I mean, she has the snobbiness of a true Mormon. Boom, boom, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. She doesn't even know. She looks inbred. Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. And then the camera pulls back to show it's this huge room with just Mary mumbling to herself.
Yeah. Spoken like a true religious leader saying that someone looks inbred. So Whitney's like, Lisa, I thought I stood up for you. And I thought I called Mary out for saying she runs a congregation of blind followers. But you don't seem to think that. Something's not adding up.
And Heather's like, she did. You did, Whitney. Good job. She called Meredith out. So Whitney's like, yeah, Meredith took off because I called her out. I said, hey, you say you lead with love and kindness, but then you're wrapping your arms around Mary. Really? With love and kindness? How odd, Whitney. How odd that she would lead with love and kindness and then refuse to judge somebody. So Lisa's like, oh my God. You did? You know, like Lisa just stops in her tracks like, oh my God, everyone did stand up for me. And Whitney's like, yeah, okay. And did you really have a memorial for your father? Oh yeah, I said everything. Oh yeah, after you left, I had your back.
And then Lisa's like, wait a second. Is this the moment I've been waiting for all season? Do I get to cry? Do I get my cry monologue? Okay, here we go.
It was hurtful for me. Because I had your back and I was getting everyone's back. And I said no one else was ever willing to say. And I felt like I was alone. And then when I said, I feel like no one has my back. I genuinely feel that way. And I'm entitled to that. And Meredith was like, I'm offended by that. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Let the tears roll.
She starts the squealing and the fake crying. I love this whole, like, no one had my back. You're coming after everyone else. What are you guys talking about having each other's back? You're talking about having each other's back to attack other people. You're attacking Mary and Meredith here. Yeah. You know? So Jen has now changed and she comes in and Lisa's still like, I would expect this from everybody else, but not Meredith. Why, Meredith? And Jen's like, you know what? I know that like, this is a rough night, but like, I literally can't take this right now with everything I'm going through.
Jen just wants to remind everyone that in the Cry Olympics that she still has gold. So Lisa's like, well, Jen, you got bigger stuff going on because you may go away for 30 years and not see your child graduate from high school. Oh, you're crying again? Sorry. And so Jen's like, I would be hurt too if my fucking best friend of 10 years was a piece of shit friend to me. I'm sorry. You're a good fucking friend and everybody needs to stop defending this weird ass bullshit with Meredith and Mary. It's weird. It's weird.
You're a good fucking friend. You were just yelling at her because she refused to speak to you after you got arrested. What planet are you people living on? So now she's the good friend, right? So Peter, you know, more Peter and the Wolf. So Mary and Meredith are just sitting at the counter in the kitchen because, you know, production is like, you can't just stay in your room. Yeah. So now they're just sitting at the counter at the kitchen. Meredith is texting and wearing a sweatsuit, which looks like it's made out of her own quotes.
It's probably a Brooks Marks original. I'm just assuming we're a Christian Fallon influence.
In cursive. And then Mary's just like kind of staring off into space, you know, like yeah. nothing to do.
And so so then Jen is like, Meredith and Mary have been hurtful to her, to me, to this one, to that pillow, to this wall, to everyone. And this one sticks up for her because she's loyal, okay? And I could crucify people just like they've done to me over and over again because, as we all know, we're fighting about the wrongs that have been done to me, Jen Shaw, right? Right?
And Heather's like, yeah, and you can say that, Jen, because you're loyal.
What?
I cannot be the only person that was like screaming through this whole episode. I mean, laughing, but also like, what are you people talking about? So Heather's like, I don't think that Meredith realizes that your friendship with her has been keeping her safe, because she doesn't give you credit for that, but that's the situation. And she's like, yeah, I know that Jen has a lot of dirt on Meredith that she wants to spew, but she doesn't, out of respect for Lisa.
That's so nice of Jen to be so respectful, because that's what I think about. I think of a very respectful person when I think of Jen Shaw.
Exactly. And I don't really believe it, because Jen would spew it.
Yeah.
Jen would totally spew it.
So then Lisa's...
Anything that Jen is going to spew from this point on is made up, because we know that Jen uses whatever is in her arsenal really for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you, like coffee yogurt. She'll spew it. So then,
you had a coffee yogurt, but what about my coffee yogurt? Meredith takes people's coffee yogurt. She robs the poor of coffee yogurt.
So Lisa is like, I want to start to cry. I want to start to cry. So she goes to the bathroom to cry. Because she's like, it was really fun that I finally got my scene. I want to prolong it. So Jen's like, deep down, she knows that Meredith doesn't give a fuck. So Jenny's in the bathroom, like consoling Lisa, like rubbing her back and everything. Maybe that's what you're thinking about, because she was in the bathroom. I think. I don't know.
Someone goes pee at one point, which I was cracking up, because they just kept continuing the scene. So Jen now has decided this isn't enough, right? So she gets herself all worked up again. She's like, either I'm going home or we're handling shit. So now she marches over, and Heather's like, yeah, let's handle shit.
So, I didn't trim my hair on Cinco de Mayo for nothing.
Right. And she's holding up her big gulp like, we're doing this. So now they're all excited. I mean, this really is junior high when everybody's like ready to go after that one girl they don't like, you know. So they're all gathering and going for it. So Whitney goes into the kitchen. She marches up to Mary and Meredith, and she's like, I am so fucking tired of this. And she drags a stool to them and she goes, now, Meredith, there was speculation, but I did not mean any disrespect. And Mary's like, I'm out. I'm not doing this. I'm leaving.
And Meredith is like, it sounds like it's time for me to step into my favorite role, which is an embittered and vulnerable woman sitting at a bar in the corner of the Nicolas Cage film Leaving Las Vegas. All right, let me do this. Because she basically becomes like a side character in a movie. Like, she's the one that, like, in a Nicolas Cage movie, he walks up to the bar and she's at the corner being like, you don't know what I've gone through. So she's like, oh, you are very disrespectful today, Whitney. And she's like,
I didn't mean to be disrespectful.
Oh, you were disrespectful with me. And I don't believe that you haven't talked. What? I don't believe that you haven't talked to your father, Whitney.
And Whitney's just like, duh. She just has like a duh stare. And she's like, yeah, why don't I take something really painful to you and just rip the scab, and no one believes you. I think you're lying and making it up about your father doing coke with Gia in the bathroom.
I was like, analogies do not work on Real Housewives, Meredith. You better be careful.
Especially against, like, the dopiest cast members, right? It's like, don't use analogies with Teresa or Whitney. Probably no. Equally. So Whitney is like, whoa, that is the lowest low. How cool. At least Meredith knows where her father is and knows he's resting peacefully. Which I've never heard the argument.
Wow, at least her father is dead.
I know. I couldn't believe the one-upsmanship in that moment. So Meredith goes, your father. Meredith, thankfully, Meredith doesn't know what Whitney said in her confessional, but I think that Meredith suspects what Whitney's going to say. So she's already trying to like counter argue. She's like, listen, dum-dum, your father's alive. Mine is dead. Keep asking about it. What were his favorite shoes? No, it was rhetorical when I said keep asking about it.
Is it your business? No, it is not your business.
So Whitney's like, oh, really? Well, and then she scoots her stool up, which is weird because she's kind of like upstaging herself. Yeah. Like she moves it so that she has to turn her head back to look at Meredith and she's not. I mean, like, it's just That's bad theater.
Yeah, bad.
Okay.
Is it my business? No, my business is Wild Rose, available soon. So I wanted to know because everyone's talking about it, and I wanted to know from you.
And she's like, well, you're my friend, so rather than asking something like that to someone else, you should say this is disgusting and we are repugnant human beings for even discussing.
And her head is just shaking all over.
Yeah.
And Whitney's like, oh, really? Did you want me to hire a private investigator to find out?
I was like, oh my God, Whitney. And Meredith goes, my father died. What doesn't fucking add up about that? You're still trying to figure out what repugnant means, right? I can see it's in your eyes. Repugnant. Okay, just move past it, Whitney. Just move past it.
It's a really cute kind of dog.
No. It's a cute dog that you have to give back because you can't afford it. No, that's repo and pug. No. Totally wrong.
When you buy a coffee cup that you take back to the store. No, it's not a remug. God damn it, I can't even have this conversation.
It's a sitcom about a country singer becoming a nut. No, it's not Reba McEntire joining a convent. A repugnant is different.
So Whitney just sits there like, duh, blink, you know, just like a dum-dum. But she tells us, she's like, oh, I'll tell you what doesn't add up, Meredith. Not to your face, of course, but you have one day, Lisa has another day, and your bestie Mary and you just happen to be in Vail the day that Jen is arrested. I don't know. You tell me what doesn't fucking add up.
I don't know. Could it be that someone looked at their iCal wrong? I don't know. Just putting it out there. Just thinking of some crazy conspiracy theories about why there's two different dates. So Meredith, she's so mad at Whitney. She's like, she's so furious. So Meredith is on the stool. The best part about being on the stool is that you can get some real good like swivel drama. So Meredith basically just swivels away. She just goes, she just swivels away from Whitney and just like she nods her head like, okay, all right, okay. And she sort of, you know, looks away from her and Whitney's like, okay. So Whitney walks off. She walks out of the room and Mary's just sort of standing in the corner and just watches Whitney go. And the music is so tense. The music's like dun 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 dun. And then Mary just goes, women.
So Jen is now marching around with her big gulp ready to go at it, you know. So Mary and Meredith are talking and Mary's like, you know, some people their brains just don't develop, you know. But Mary's loving this, like, yeah. She's rolling her eyes and she's giddy and she's like, their brains just don't connect with their thoughts, you know, but don't let it get to you. And Meredith is like, I'm crying
right now, right?
Mary, did you like the way I swiveled away from Whitney and then just went back to my cup? Like, you are traumatizing my family, right? It was good, Mary, right? I did a good job with that, huh? She said, it was good.
And Mary's saying to us, Whitney's so out of her mind, and to say what she said is not rational. I mean, that's just not okay. It's mean. It's like, you just called somebody inbred.
I'm like, I don't think Mary is the one to talk about who says mean things. So Whitney enters, goes upstairs to report back. She's like, close the door, please. I am so sick of the fake ass phony shit. Something doesn't add up.
And Jen's like, thank you. That's what we were just talking about. And she's like, yeah, well, listen what I did. I went to apologize to Meredith and she got mad at me. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hire a private investigator. I was like, okay, you did not say it like that.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all. And it was dumb enough the first time. Mm-hmm. Second of all. But keep yelling, Whitney. Keep. Whitney just keeps digging the stupidity hole deeper and deeper. She's like, that's what I did, girls. And they're like, wow. And then she puts her hands on her head like she can't believe the strength in herself. She's like, yeah. Wow, guys. I did it.
Yeah.
I did it, guys.
And Jen Shaw's like, that's why you're my bitch, which is something I'll probably be saying when I go to prison, too. So Whitney goes, it was not good. I don't think we're friends anymore. Which is funny because I don't actually truly think they were ever friends. It's like Meredith Marks and Whitney ever have like any sort of real relationship beyond the show. Do you imagine? I don't see that happening.
No. So then back to Mary, who's smiling and loving it. She goes, sorry. That was hurtful, Meredith. Sorry, Meredith. Sorry. I know I can't fix things, but Meredith goes, oh, I'm gonna fix things. And then she gets up all furious and starts, you know, charging with her head shaking.
Yeah. And then this must be the bathroom part because Heather is in the bathroom and goes, your urine smells like you need some water. I guess you didn't get a popsicle today like we did.
So Meredith marches into the bathroom where the girls are while Whitney's peeing. And she's like, Whitney, I would like to know who's speculating about my father's death. Which this, you know, this fight, Meredith, no one is speculating about your father's death. Okay. They believe that your father died. They, like, no one is accusing you of faking your father's death. They're accusing you of faking the date of the memorial to get out of riding on the bus. And I speculate the same damn thing. I don't doubt for one second that you lied. Who gets this mad?
Yeah. So then Meredith, she's like, well, so Whitney goes, everyone speculates. She goes, who's everyone? I want names. I need names and details. So if I need to report them to some sort of authority, which I would, of course, never do, but if I need it, give me all the information and addresses, anything you can remember whatsoever. So Whitney's like, me. And then Jenny.
And Lisa. Lisa was
speculating. It was Jenny who goes, Lisa, Jenny, who was just like, I have your back. Lisa, oh God, your best friend of 10 years saying so much.
I wrote that Whitney yells, Lisa. And then Jenny goes, yeah, on the bus, they were all talking about it. And Meredith goes, was Jenny, everyone? Was Jenny? And Jenny goes, on the bus. And Jen goes, well, Jenny was the one that said you hired a private investigator and you called the FBI.
Jen Shaw just creates that part there. And Jen's like, no, I never said the part about the FBI.
Oh, okay. No, you didn't. You're right. You didn't. Okay, so now Lisa jumps into the room, waving her finger and screeching like those witches on strings in front yards at Halloween, like where you pass a certain point and it just comes flying at you. It's like,
and Lisa's like, stop right now. All of you, stop right now.
You speculated on my father's death.
No, I did not. I know exactly what I said.
Whitney, did you or did you not say that she did this?
Do not lie, Whitney. This is important. And Lisa's screaming and clapping. I did not speculate on your father's death. You're the liar, not me. Do not do this to me. Do not do this to me.
I don't lie, Lisa.
Meredith, I'm fucking mad. Stop doing this to me, Meredith.
Lisa, stop yelling at me.
So then Meredith's like, wait a minute, you just said that she speculated. And Whitney's like, I said we had a conversation. Tell her what you said, Lisa. And Lisa's like, I said what I said to you on the phone, that everyone agrees on different ways. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what I said. You know what? I'm not sorry. Where's Heather in this? Yeah. Why isn't Heather in this? Heather, who's like, I say everything to everyone's face. You were the one who just said in the last episode, either she's lying to you or she's lying to me, and we're going to figure it out right now.
I think Heather's still analyzing the urine. Like, she definitely needs to drink more water.
So Lisa's like, I'm a fucking liar. Who is lying about the dates of their dad's memorial? Not me. Not me. And Lisa, she's like, you told me one date. You told me, and you told Heather another date. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not the fucking liar. I'm not the fucking liar.
And Meredith's like, I need an answer because she said you speculated and you said you didn't speculate. Somebody needs the answer. And Jen, because this is not about her for 2 seconds, takes a pillow and bangs the shade. And she's like, it was a mosquito. So Whitney's like, based on what everyone is speculating, your father's memorial happened different days. And Meredith's like, I love that everyone knows that except for me. Meredith, what day was the fucking memorial? Just say. Why don't you just say at this point? This is crazy.
If this isn't about your father passing away, and it's all about my father, this is about not about your mourning and grieving. You're accusing me of lying and faking a memorial. You know what that is? Whitney, get ready. Have you looked it up yet? Here, it's repugnant. It's repugnant. Someone tell Whitney. I can't keep saying repugnant and not have any reaction from her.
So Whitney's like, why can't you just tell us the date and shut it down? And she's like, these are not my friends. These are not my friends. So she leaves instead of just answering the fucking question. And then Heather goes, yeah, and where is Mary Cosby right now for Meredith? Where is Mary Cosby? And so Whitney, taking the cue, starts screaming, yeah, where is Mary Cosby for Meredith? So now you want Mary to be there to stand up for Meredith because you guys are attacking her.
Well, they want Mary to be there to show, to expose the hypocrisy that Meredith is always supporting Meredith. Meredith, okay, this is, I think, the logic. Meredith is mad at Lisa because she feels like Lisa doesn't have her back, and they feel like there's a double standard for Mary. So now that Meredith is being attacked, they're saying, oh, look, notice that Mary doesn't have your back, but you're not mad at her about that. That's, I think, what Whitney's mindset is. She's also drunk, and she's still trying to figure lots of things out. So now she's like, where is Mary for Meredith right now? Because that's what I want to fucking know. Well, no, we won't go. We're here. We're queer. And where is Mary M. Cosby?
It just doesn't make any sense because Lisa's the one screaming and yelling that Meredith doesn't have her back. And Meredith is just saying, if everyone's questioning the memorial, why don't you just tell them no? You know, Lisa's the one losing her mind, screaming that people don't have her back, you know. So now they're going around screaming, where is Mary Cosby? And Whitney's storming the house. And Mary's just in the kitchen, right, just hanging out. And so she's like, Whitney, don't come in here. Don't come in here bothering me, Whitney. And she's like, Meredith needs you to stand up for her against us.
She's in the bathroom.
But she needs you, so go be there for her.
And Mary goes, okay, bye.
No, hi.
She goes, no, not bye. I'm going to say hi. I'm Whitney.
It's not bye, girl. Or girl, bye. Girl, hi.
So Mary's like, are you okay?
I'm Whitney. It was so funny to me.
Like a moment of empowerment.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Jen walks in and Mary goes, Jen, are you okay? Like, she's making sure Jen's okay. Meanwhile, Jen is like getting everyone riled up against Mary, right?
Yeah.
So Whitney is like, Meredith needs you. So Meredith comes in and she's like, well, we're all in there. Where are you to support her, Mary? Why aren't you in there having the conversation? I just wrote, Whitney's probably the dumbest person on Bravo. And that is saying something. This is Bravo. I mean, congratulations.
No. Hi. I'm Whitney.
So Mary goes,
I'm Whitney.
So Whitney's saying, like, why aren't you having the conversation? Mary goes, because I don't want to be. I'm done with you. I'm done with your cousin. And that's why. Because I can be wherever I want to be. And I want you to get out of my face and go back to where you came from. And, like, honestly, Mary is correct. And I mean, Mary is such a complicated figure on this show because she said racially insensitive things. She might run a cult. She might be a dangerous person. She literally spews
like things that don't make any sense, but also the way that she kind of is like is not willing to play these games with the girls, that she's like, no, get out of my fucking face, go, bye. I said it because I wanted to say it. It's kind of amazing too.
Yeah, she's like, I'm done with you and your cousin. She goes, well, but be there for Meredith. And Mary's like, oh my God, it is exhausting to argue with someone who's drunk. And she goes, yeah, I don't need to hear your opinion. I don't care what you think. And Lisa's like, Mary, why did you even come if you don't care about any of us?
And she goes, well, because it was like my last attempt and I'm done now. Oh, that's very hurtful. That's very hurtful. She's like, I don't care about your hurt.
Lisa is screaming that it's hurtful of Mary when Lisa's just been screaming that Mary has a cult. And brought this all on TV in the first. I mean,
and
this
by the
show.
Way, and they all started up with Mary. By the way, don't forget that at the beginning of this night, because it feels like it was 2 years ago, but the beginning of the Cinco de Mayo, Mary was sitting there perfectly happy. There, everything was nice, and they went out of their way. Admittedly, Mary was ungracious and was not going to bring blankets for Whitney, but they went out of their way to antagonize her once again. And I don't know. I feel weird. I feel like I am defending Mary, and I'm not a Mary apologist. But in this case, they started with Mary. They started, and then she's agitated, and then they're acting like they're hurt because she reacted to what they did.
Yes, they're mad at her for not screaming and yelling at them. I mean, it's ridiculous that they're so mad that she won't engage. But then, you know, the second she does, they'd be like, oh, my God, Mary. Like, Mary, she just goes so crazy, you know? So then... Then they just all go, okay, good night. And they just, everyone goes to bed. It's the weirdest thing. They're like, Mary's not going to fight? Are we all sure, Mary, you're not going to fight? And she's like, no. They're like, okay, good night. Fun night, everybody. Thanks. Oh, yeah, great Cinco de Mayo. Good night, everybody. Love you all.
Yeah, I mean, they try, because they're trying really hard to turn Meredith against Mary. Because they're like, Heather even says, like, I've given Mary such a huge pass because of you, Meredith. And, like, Mary's your girl, and I don't want to upset that balance. And, like, but don't you... She's kind of like, don't you see, like, the terrible thing she does? And Meredith's like, oh, Mary's been good to me, and she's been kind to me, and she's been a good friend. You should have seen before swiveling back and forth on those bar stools. It was great. It was great. Okay, I think we can go to sleep now. I don't think we're getting any further on this scene. Okay, great. Great shoot tonight, guys. Great shoot. Someone wrap up my tackle bowl.
So then the next day they're packing to, you know, leave, and Jen comes in to Whitney's. Everybody's all happy. Jen's like, hi, put fun buns in today because we're going to have fun. That's a laugh cry.
And Whitney has a big hangover because she's exhausted and emotional. She goes, I'm trying to piece together how everything ended, which is, the pre-excuse for the bad behavior, you know, when people wake up. I just don't remember. Something doesn't add up about last night. So that way then she could say, I don't remember saying that, you know?
Yeah. So if you say it, if you say, Whitney, you're an asshole for what you said, she can say, but I was drunk. But then if you say, Whitney, you drink too much, she could say, don't drunk shame me.
Yeah.
Classic. So then Jen's like, well, you were honest AF, okay? You tried to get resolved for us, and some people just aren't ready to be honest.
Yeah. And Jen's like, Meredith Marks is not being truthful. Okay, you asked me a million questions, and I answered them. So you do the same thing, Meredith. Very simple questions. Did you or did you have anything to do with calling the feds? Yes or no? I don't know if that's a simple question, by the way. That's not like, what did you have for breakfast today?
But she already gave you the answer. She said, no, I did not call the feds. Like, how many times does she need to say? She did, Jen. You dope.
And also, you know what, so, you know what else gave her the answer? Simple, common logic. Okay? Do you guys really think that she, Meredith Marks, called the feds? And just by Meredith Marks' own admission earlier, if she had called the feds, she would have wanted to be there to see it. I mean, it's like, think. Use the brain.
Right. So Lisa and Heather are talking now, and Heather's like, how are you and Meredith? Did you guys talk? And she's like, you know what? I know, you know, I'm just really sad about it. I'm just sad because she knows I love her family, who I just called a bunch of posers and shallow idiots. But you know what? She acts like it doesn't matter. You know, just like a whore would who cheats on her husband. You know, it's just it's very devastating. It's very devastating.
And so now Heather's like very scared to see Meredith this morning, and she doesn't feel like anything was solved last night. Nothing was resolved. Meredith didn't give her any sort of answers. And she says she doesn't, you know, she doesn't think Meredith wants to give an answer because she doesn't want to be caught in a lie. So Meredith is down having breakfast. Meredith is like in a business suit having breakfast. She's like in a full on blazer. So she's like back to like.
And so is Mary. They're like both like the business people. You know, they're like the Wells Fargo Business Center people at this breakfast.
They really are. It's like you have to like sign in on a pad in order to sit down to have breakfast. We'll call you when we're ready.
Yeah, and Meredith is eating so awkwardly. She's like,
she's like, I said she's anger stabbing her food. She's like, like every little berry that she's stabbing. Wow, this cottage cheese isn't gonna eat itself.
So Mary's like, I want to see you smile. I just want to see your beautiful smile. And she's like, well, you're not gonna see it unless someone considers a home refinance, because I've got a quota to fill.
So Mary goes, I think you look too pretty to get on that Sprinter van. But Meredith is like resolute to not let more shit be talked about her. So she goes, I will ride in the Sprinter van. And also, our rates are an all-time low, and you know we've got 3 tiers of checking accounts that I really think you should look into, Mary.
Well, she realizes that if she's not there, they're just going to talk more shit about her. Yeah. So she's like, I'm going. So Heather's like, well, we have not held Mary to the fire yet. Okay, we've excused her behavior. We've excused her church, even though she's aggressively cruel. And she might even be the least honest, which is saying a lot for this group. That's saying a lot.
By the way, I don't think that Mary is aggressively cruel. And it is not the best use of words there. But I think that Mary is just like standard level cruel. I think she's just like regular cruel with a dash of religious hypocrisy. Which, you know, that's kind of fun, if you ask me. So Lisa says, although, again, the racial, the comments about Jenny, that we don't condone that at all. So Lisa goes, you know what?
I didn't think I'd be living at odds with Mary and Meredith and bonding with Heather and Whitney. Oh my God. It's like, should I do the weather joke again? Good weather? Did I do that last episode? You want me to cry? I can cry. What do you want me to do? I'll do anything, really. Anything you need from me. Oh, that's good. I like that.
So she's can't believe that she's leaving friends with Heather and Whitney and at odds with Meredith. And she's like, thanks, Heather. You know what? Thanks for checking on me. You know, what you said last night means a lot. Like, not even at all realizing that Heather has totally manipulated this whole thing now. Like, has Lisa screaming at Meredith. She's like, thank you. Thank you for everything you did for me. Okay. She was checking on you last night after orchestrating all of this.
I know. It's
fucking
it's crazy.
I love it.
So they all pretty much get into the SUV. And then the last image that we see is just Meredith in the Sprint. I'm sorry, not the SUV, in the Sprinter. Because Mary gets in this SUV. And we just see Meredith in the Sprinter van just sort of like melting into the seat. Like, I'm like, oh, well, looks like a great ride. And that's all we see of it.
And Mary's like, I'm going to be like the Roadrunner. I cannot take this anymore. Meep, meep. And she leaves in her own car. So then and then they close her door and Mary just goes, torture.
So now we're back to Salt Lake City, and now it's Seth and Meredith at home, and Seth's like, hey, Bear, have you ever done Reiki before? It's energy healing. It's like, and you know, any girl's trip, like the one I heard, you walked in, you got skunked, okay? So you never got to get the skunk off you. It just sticks to you unless you clear it off, huh?
And she's like, so what is this about, Seth, getting the skunk off of me? And he's like, yes, it's about clearing the energy, because I can't seem to keep a job, so I'm an inspirational life coach now who likes boobs a lot, okay? Let's align your chakras, okay? And when it's over, you're going to be like, oh, Oh, yeah. Yeah, give me a pack of cigarettes. Like, you're going to need some help with this spiritual healing.
It's going to be like you just had an orgasm because I licked your vagina. All right, Seth, we get it. We understood the analogy.
Yeah, Seth, I don't know how this spiritual teaching thing is going to work out for you.
So then we go.
Wasn't that like you just got fucked? Like, can you imagine your spiritual teacher? Yeah, your chakras. Yeah, line those chakras. Oh, want a cigarette, baby?
So then now we go to a little scene in the park where they're kind of like Heather's doing. It's sort of like a gender reveal, but it's for colleges with Ashley and like various people in the park to reveal that she's going to be going to UCSB. So, you know, congrats to her. And then we go over to Jen with her lawyer, Clayton. You know, he looks great. He looks totally different from the park benches that I've seen his picture on. And he's basically like, okay, so we're going to go over all the evidence and the search warrants and the phones. And she's like, can we talk to Stu Chains? He's like, I don't know if we can really talk to Stu Chains right now.
But we're still fighting as a team, right? Me and Stu Chains, we're a team. And he's like, we're not really opposed to each other at this point, but, you know, he could take a deal and testify against you. And she's like, we have to take it to trial because anything other than that is saying we're guilty and taking a plea, right? He's like, you're fucked.
Yeah, it's like, you're really
fucked.
You're doubling down on this on TV, aren't you? Wow. Oh, and this just in. Yep, Stu Chains has sung like a bird. Okay, nice knowing you, Jen Shah. I'm going to resign from this case.
I just want to say as a side note, I really want to get divorced from Heather because Billy looks amazing. Did you see? I mean,
maybe his hot tub broke.
Billy looks finally got out of the hot great. Tub. So, yeah, I don't know what it is, but I want some of that. Okay, so now we go over to Lisa's house. And because Mary has told her she's a bad person because she eats Taco Bell or whatever the hell that was, Lisa is now trying to prove to the world that she cooks. So yes. She's wrapping asparagus with prosciutto or something. And yeah. She's like, Henry, isn't this amazing? Mary's like a gourmet chef, right? Right? Now it's the best chef.
She got like a little hibachi grill or something, like almost like a, or like, I don't know what you'd call it. It's like almost like a little at home Benihana's flat top. So they're basically doing like hibachi on it. And she's like, we have so many things. Look, we have Gruyere cheese. Yes. So I love my new grill. I could be a celebrity chef. Food Network, watch out. Food Network, Susie Ferguson slept with half of New York City, by the way. Who's Meredith to say my diet's bad and I don't eat well?
And then she drinks from her big gulp. And the kid's like, so how was your trip to Zion, Mom? She's like, oh my God, it was good. It was good. I had a good time. And then they just cut to, you're the fucking liar. You're the fucking liar. Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was good times.
Hey, you know what I really want to learn how to make? Eggs. John goes, yeah. He's like, I want to support that, but I'm also scared of all the terrible egg dishes I'm gonna have to live through before she finally gets the hang of it.
Yeah, so she sends the kids up to Peter Chapter, and they start talking about literally every trip. So she's like, there's so much going on these girls' trips. And he's like, so what went on the Sprinter van? Because that sounded like hell. She's like, well, Meredith's name came up and, you know, there's been a little tension. But you know what? Maybe we have some hostility. Meredith's a whore. She sucked in half of New York. Fuck her and her poser family. Lisa's so delusional. She's like, you know, nothing much. You know, we'll work it out.
Yeah, I think what's happening is maybe she's deflecting from the fact that she's a whore who slept with half of New York City and Seth can't keep a job. But I don't know. So then she says, I'm just going to remove myself from the middle of Meredith and John's issues. And like, they both hold me responsible for their problems. And I feel like these resentments happen when Meredith has these little microbursts towards me. She literally turns into a thunderstorm and has a microburst on me. Okay. And I love Meredith and I will always love Meredith despite being a whore who slept with half of New York City. But I love myself too. And I'm not going to be a punching bag for her or Jen or Mara Cosma.
So then we get church music, and it's time for a fake Mary church scene. And we so know good. Because there's like five people. So I don't know if this is real, and Mary's congregation has just really thinned out this much, but there's like five people. And I think one of them is like the guy we saw in the reflection while Lisa was screaming in the bathroom. You
know? I mean, look, her church is currently boarded up. I mean, who knows who's still there? I don't know what's going on with her church. It was, but either way, there's like six people there. The number's way down from the original church scene from season one. And Mary's walking down the aisle with her son and everything. And she's, you know, doing like lots of like, is he all right? Is God all right? You know, and everyone's like jumping in the aisles and like losing their minds and everything. And
with her golden mic, yes, you know, like her Elvis mic. So she tells us, listen, we may not have had a service, you know, in about a year. I mean, imagine not having service in a year. I mean, imagine being on a page, same page. You know what? Everyone relaxes. It's beautiful. What? What are you talking about? You just shut your church down for a whole year?
So then Mary, she's, you know, she just keeps saying like Park City, are you all right? You're still here. So then Jen Shaw shows up, which just is funny to me because she's like all glammed up to go to church, right? And so she's which I'm sure that happens in many, many churches. I'm not acting surprised by it. I just think it's funny. Yeah. I just think it's, for some reason, there's like something very funny about like Jen Shaw just wearing all this expensive clothing to come to a place where I imagine like being humble is like a virtue, but you know. So she comes in and Jen's like, so Mother's Day, I sent a group text to ladies saying happy Mother's Day. And Mary responded to me directly and said, the spirit has moved me today to invite you to my church. And I'm like, but what about my church that I run? What about, oh wait, no, instinct. I don't have a church. Anyway, I went to church.
And Mary's like, I did not call you. God called you. So then Jen's like, and I want to see like if I feel the Holy Spirit, like if I moved, is Mary a cult leader? Is she a god? And a woman is like testifying and sobbing, and she's like, I love you, Mary. God shines in you. You're such a good friend. You're such a master of positivity, Mary.
Yeah, the congregants are losing their mind off of about Mary. This one lady goes, this is for you, Mary. You are my perfect life. God's love for his people reigns in you. God shines in all you do. You are the perfect friend. You are the master of positivity. You are a perfect teacher. Through God's word, I've learned so much, and you are the perfect dresser. Okay, you are the facsimile of God. You wear hats really well. I love your choice in picture frames. You go to you. The mattress, beyond compare. I know you got a Sealy recently. Great choice. God lives through your mattresses. There's nothing that you cannot do, Mary Cosby.
She actually does tell her, and you're a perfect dresser. A perfect dresser. And Mary's just getting fanned.
Mary's getting fanned.
That's gratitude. She's like, and she's crying. That's gratitude.
And the woman literally goes, you are the facsimile of God. So, I mean, people really like her.
Yeah. So Jen's like, wow, I've never seen this side of Mary. I mean, what's even happening right now? And the lady's screaming in the aisle, you're the best friend in the world, Mary.
Yeah, she literally says, you're the best friend I can ever imagine.
And another girl screams, I'll never leave you, Mary. Never.
It is certifiably crazy. I'm not going to lie. It is certifiably crazy. And I'm so glad.
Then we go over to Meredith's house, and she's got a trainer over there or something. She's like, we're going to have a cocktail before we start, right? And oh, this is Meredith's. Who did I say? I don't know who I said, but it's Meredith's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're at Meredith's house.
I'm losing it at this point. This recap has been so fucking bonkers.
Yeah. So then this guy shows up at the door with like essentially this giant crazy machine. You know, at this point, we've watched enough Bravo to know it's the old, like, we're going to electrocute your fat away. So Meredith has invited Whitney and Heather to come over. And she's like, well, I want Whitney to come over because I'm looking to get some resolution. I think, if anything, I'm owed an apology. So then we see Whitney and Heather driving over to Meredith's house.
So Whitney's like, the fact that I'm in a car going to Meredith's right now blows my mind. Like, boom.
Like, I don't think you even know what happened in Zion. And Heather's like, well, I know that you were, like, going at it, but, like, you know, like, where are you at? I mean, what was the last thing she said to you? She goes, I said that you can, you know, did you have a memorial for your father, yes or no? And then she was like, Whitney, is your father really an addict? Okay.
Which is actually not what
she said. You fucking liar. You fucking liar, Whitney. Always lying. She's infuriating, this lady.
She loved me, and she knowed it. She knows from the top. She loved me, and she knows it. Something's not adding up. Hi, I'm Whitney.
And Heather's like, if I heard that, I would have raged. Yeah, well, you wouldn't have heard it because no one ever fucking said that. So she's like, well, she should have to explain herself like the rest of us. I mean, she, you know, why is she even inviting you and me? And Whitney's like, this is her trying to kiss our ass because she knows she's wrong. Babe, this is a cover up. Like, let me kiss their ass and then I'll never have to be accountable in my lies.
Yeah. So then, back at the house, Meredith is telling the electric people, she's like,
so I think you should push them really hard. Just put it up really high. You know, not on me, but on them.
So they come over and she's like, hello, welcome, and give some hugs. And Whitney's like, who is this? I have never met this Meredith in Zion before. When has Meredith ever been mean to you? What are you talking about?
I'm always astounded with people on these shows when, like, someone has, like, the courtesy to be polite when they say hello to someone. Like, it's like, yeah, Meredith is still pissed. She's still pissed, but she's like, oh, hi. Like, people can be pissed, but they can also, you know, extend common courtesies. People like, oh, wow. Look how fake she's being right now. She's not being fake. She's just being, like, a polite person right now. And if she answered the door and was all cold, then the story would be, wow, it's like she just can't get over what happened. So, like, I don't want to hear it. People are allowed to be polite.
You can't win. Anything you do, she's going to try and turn against you like you're evil, you know? It's like she won't give you the date, so you're evil. Now she said that your dad's not even really a drug addict. And then she tries to invite you over to make up, and you're like, what a bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't win. So they do their wacky, like, oh my God, this workout is like sex. They do that wacky Bravo scene.
Yeah.
And then Meredith's like, well, first of all, I would like to apologize. She both because I was very angry. Okay.
Well, my intention was to say, you know, yes or no, give us a date. And Meredith's like, well, through a number of very wild accusations, I can't hear you over being electrocuted. Okay, let's turn up a little bit more. She's still speaking. Okay, a little higher, Aaron.
So Heather's like, we were trying to clear it up because of what people were saying, mostly us. we said that you were probably lying, so we just wanted to clear it up after we told everybody else you were probably lying, okay? So just to clear it up, you know? And Meredith's like, okay, well, it was the 29th. Okay, there's the date you want. And so Heather tells us, so it was the day that I thought it was, okay? Yeah. And that was the day before Jen got arrested. So I'm surprised why Lisa would say it's the day that Jen got arrested. Why would Lisa do this to one of her best friends? So now after she turned it the first way, now she's going to turn it the other way.
So why would Lisa start that drama? Because the reason why is because no one was really listening to anyone. So probably when Meredith said the memorial was on Monday, Lisa probably thought it was, she said Tuesday. And then when she called up Meredith on Tuesday, as we've seen in the flashback, she just calls up, doesn't even really speak with Meredith. She goes, hi, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I'm so sorry. Sharif has internal bleeding. It's really scary, but we have lots of lifesavers on the Sprinter van. It's going to be so much fun. And oh my God, it's like a little warm in here. Okay, I'm sorry, Meredith. I got to go. Bye. Meredith never had to say.
She says, go back to your family. Meredith never said, memorial or whatever.
These are basically very normal human mistakes. And the fact that Heather's like, I'm curious why Lisa is trying to start all this trouble. It's like, because Lisa, assumed something.
Lisa didn't start it. You started it. Lisa didn't start anything. You did. So, oh my God.
So at the end of everything, I just need to know how all this transpired because it's completely incredulous to me and beyond insane.
So Meredith's like, yeah, so on the bus ride to Vail, Lisa, what happened, right? She called me, and Heather goes, yeah, she said, I just spoke to Meredith, and she's in the middle of her dad's memorial, which she did not, right?
Meredith, like, literally, Meredith, you can hear on that phone that Meredith clearly just woke up from a nap, because Meredith goes, hello, and she's like, oh, sorry, okay, goodbye. So Meredith's like, on the 30th? Well, I was not physically in Aspen on Tuesday. I was in Vail. I left Aspen Monday night and I went to Vail. So she doesn't even know.
And Heather's like, but then why would Lisa say that? She didn't say it. So then Meredith is like, this is just adding the fuel to the fire between me and Jen. And before they start rumors that I faked a memorial because I turned Jen into the FBI, they should ask me. So Whitney's like, so how do you feel about going to Lisa's event now?
Well, I'm very conflicted. I mean, the thing that you're saying to me are not what a friend of 10 years does. There are things that someone who maybe doesn't know you does. And at the end of the day, pause for Ronnie to sing the song.
Sorry, what was it?
At the end of the day, I said,
you get nothing for nothing.
If everything you guys are telling me is true, then I'm done.
And Heather just nods and smiles. She's like, yeah. Ugh, the evil. The evil. Such a good show.
It was amazing. So next week is the big finale. There's another big fight. Jenny throws a glass. Mary says, I'll talk about all the people you want to talk about. And then we'll probably have 10 weeks of a reunion. So lots to look forward to.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Go get tickets for Watch What Crappens Live coming next to San Diego and Los Angeles, our big ones. St. Paul, Chicago, Minneapolis. I mean,
Milwaukee.
We're going so many places. Milwaukee? Yeah. Okay. Milwaukee. You know what? Come get your tickets.
It's not called running. Milwaukee. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll talk to you on the next one.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.